League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Welcome to Shaken and Disturbed, everybody. This is Father God Darren here with Mother God John Thrasher. Johnny boy, how you doing? Oh, and smash that subscribe button.
Smash that subscribe button. And you are Father God, because not only are we calling each other Father God, you were recognized in public as Father God, and you talked about that on Patreon. So you are Father God.
A public NMR. We talked about it.
I'm sorry. Public NMR. Yes.
And we talked about you having a lot of weird dreams on that. So you should also listen to our NMR this week. But
were they sexual in nature? Find out. Listen to
the show. Sure, always. Yeah. But John, before we get into this week's case, which was actually a listener suggestion, so we will definitely be shouting them out. We just wanted to kind of get through some housekeeping stuff up top.
Yes.
and start. John, I want you to sort of take the first one, just because why not?
Yeah, listen, you know, by the time this episode comes out, it'll be Sunday, but you know, we're recording this a little bit earlier in the week. Our thoughts and prayers for those who pray go out to those that are affected by the hurricane. Hurricane Milton at this point is like, I think it's a category 4 right now. It was just a category 5.
I think it's like Sarasota or something is going to get hit pretty bad. Do you know the hurricane that's on the tail end of Milton?
No, there's another one.
Do you know the name?
It can't be Darren, please.
Well, it goes in alphabetical order.
It goes in order. Sorry, I know that. I don't know why I said that. No, tell me what.
What's an N name that you know?
Not Nadine. Is it?
Yes, sir.
Guys, Darren's girlfriend's name is Nadine, if you weren't aware of that.
So I'm in for a big load of shit.
You've got a lot going on over there.
So thoughts
LA.
And prayers for me, ultimately.
Yeah, for you guys.
But no, of course, we've been thinking about everyone in Florida. Part of my childhood was spent in Florida, so I have sort of a deep love for that state in its own way. But obviously, if you're a listener, if anything, you know, like, please let us know that you're safe. We're all concerned and all thinking about you guys, for sure.
Absolutely. Hopefully by the time this comes out, everything will be passed
settled.
And, you know, hopefully you guys can recover, especially in that Sarasota area. So we are thinking about you guys, and please, I think, you know, one of the most important things at this scenario is to listen to your local leaders and government people, like, politics aside, like,
if they say evacuate.
Yeah, if they're saying evacuate. Yeah. Exactly.
I also wanted to pivot because we had sort of a big episode last week when we were talking about the Menendez brothers. Very familiar, popular case, but Netflix just came out with their documentary called The Menendez Brothers, which is, again, separate from Ryan Murphy's Monsters, but they're both kind of out simultaneously telling, I mean, one's a scripted show telling sort of a different story, and the other one's a documentary where we actually get to hear from Eric and Lyle for the first time, I think, since they've been in prison. And we just want to say, we saw your responses. We got a lot of different responses on our Menendez episode. Obviously, there were comments everywhere. A lot of people were just talking to me and texting me. We released it midweek after our embargo with Netflix sort of ended. So that's why the episode aired a little bit earlier than we normally do. And we just want to thank you, Netflix, for sending us the press screeners. It was really nice being able to see about it. But you know, John, after watching that documentary, I mean, like, I still feel very confident about what my opinion is, but I was actually surprised at how, varied and diverse the opinions were of people's response to the Menendez brothers, and how, and I gather that not everyone watched the doc. Some people, it was like, I had just binged Monsters, or like, I had heard about the case. So not everyone had seen the doc, which is fair. And I'm not saying that would have influenced anyone's opinions, but we have a few that we kind of wanted to just shout out because we were a little surprised in a good way as people's varying opinions on this. So take away the first one, John.
Yeah. As Darren said, lots of conversation around this. Our Patreon friend, Marty, who we love, Darren.
Love you, Marty.
She said, I just finished watching the episodes of Monsters and I thought it was very good. I'm looking forward to watching this documentary. So Marty, let us know what you thought about it. I love that Marty is watching both. I think it's important to watch.
I think it's
both.
Good. Yeah. Just like Scott Peterson, the Netflix and the Peacock one, even though it was a lot and a lot of it was similar. I felt it was good because, you know, one had bias. Both of them had bias, you know?
And I'll just add, before we get into these other comments too, is we talked a little bit on Patreon, on NMR this week, about the way scripted crime shows that are based on a true story influence people. I think it's worth listening. You know, Darren and I, not to toot our own horns here, but we had a good little conversation about the media impact in 2024 versus 1999 or whenever that all was going down. And Monsters is playing into that. Ryan Murphy himself is single-handedly playing into that, not only with Monsters, the Dahmer situation, the Dahmer show, I should say, but also American Crime Story, which he is the showrunner of. So lots of stuff going on with Ryan Murphy. But Darren, take the next one before we get into Catherine the next episode.
Catherine on Facebook said, I cried watching this too, John, with a little crying emoji. I think they should be given a chance to prove they're rehabilitated and think they have done enough time. Their parents seemed awful, and I believe he did brutally abuse them, and the mother just ignored it. Such a nightmare situation to have to grow up in. I mean, Catherine, I agree with you. I think given the chance of whatever chance that they have been shown in prison to be rehabilitated, if that's the point of prison, they've shown that. I think that's been clear. So yeah, I think they definitely need to have a re-look at the sentencing. I mean, again, no character witnesses for the parents at all. Not one character witness, not one. And then the second trial, they couldn't even bring up the abuse, but the first trial ended a hung jury. And it took a month for them to actually adjudicate it. I mean, this is not a clear-cut case. This is clearly not a clear-cut case. So
it's not. And Catherine said something interesting here, that she thinks that the mother ignored it. And that's your opinion and totally understandable. I just want to mention what I said in the original episode last week, which is that there's a very high likelihood that Kitty was also a victim of abuse, probably not sexual abuse, but
maybe mental and emotional.
Mental and emotional abuse. It's a lot of people I've seen on my own comments, like Darren, we've been posting social media to promote the show. Some people are commenting they were free to leave. And it's like, of course
they were.
But
that's not how, right. It's like, that's Elizabeth, like, what's her name who was abducted?
Yes.
Elizabeth Smart.
It's
like, yes, in theory, you're free to leave, but that's part of like being in a cult, right? Like there is something about brainwashing. There is something feeling compelled to be around a person, to not disappoint a person, let alone that person being your fucking parent. So it's not as easy as just having the freedom to do something. It isn't that.
Yeah. And with Kitty, you know, to your point, Darren, she was the wife who, you know, what was she supposed to do? Walk away with no resources and no money and be potentially
and who knows what she felt like, right? Who knows what she felt like, sort of in danger and
that's
or with
I'm
this
saying,
prestigious
yeah.
family. Like, good point on that. And just in general, I think it's really easy from the outside to be like, oh, well, they were growing up. They could have just beaten their parents, as opposed to really understanding if you were been abused for 15 years of your life.
I'm
not confident.
Yeah.
All through your childhood, you know, I mean, even they talked about how they didn't want the abuse to end because that was the only alone time they got with their fucking dad.
Yeah,
like
that's horrible. I forgot.
Normal, quote unquote, people don't want to be abused. So the fact that they even feel that way should say something to people. Yeah. And, you know, I thought it was really interesting just about Kitty, about how the kids claimed, you know, they couldn't really figure out a way to do this where Kitty wouldn't have been involved because she was so intertwined with the father that there was really no way to not kill her with him. So whether or not that's true, whether or not there are other options, obviously. But the fact that they felt that they couldn't trust their mother about the whole thing, I think just goes to
speaks
show
volumes,
that obviously she has something going on as well. Had something.
Yeah. And that's not to say that she also maybe wasn't ignoring it as well, Catherine. So very, very, anything's at play really, but just to give another thought there. So Emma on our Facebook group also had a little bit of an opposing view, which I wanted to mention here as well, because there are a lot of people that agree with Emma's point, which she says, quote, there was no reason to kill their mother other than to get the money. Their parents controlled the money. They deserve the guilty verdict and they deserve to be in jail, end quote. And I would just say to that, no one's really, I don't think most people are really debating that they shouldn't have gone to jail. It's really about,
or that they're not guilty. I think it's about the
guilty.
Sentencing.
The
is
sentencing
what we're talking
and,
about here.
Given the entire circumstances. And I would say even the fact that, as Darren just mentioned, in their second trial, the judge decided that the motive behind the reasoning that they're saying they did this was going to be eliminated from evidence.
It's inadmissible. And
yeah, like what?
Again, remember imperfect self-defense. These people thought take whatever you think, but they are claiming allegedly that they felt that their lives were in danger of both of them. And I think push comes to shove. If Kitty was choose Kitty, whether or not we're going to call her abused or not, made a choice between staying with her husband or her children when they were being abused. And she chose the husband.
Yeah.
She didn't choose the kids ever. So that should also say something. Not to say that she deserved to die. Of course not. Mm-hmm. But I'm just saying that, like, obviously the boys felt a certain way. And I don't think it was just as easy as, like, yeah, we'll just kill the mother too. They were already set to inherit the money. They already lived a very rich lifestyle. Like, there was no other mistress coming in or other kid coming in claiming to get the money. They were set to inherit it. And even though they were going to not inherit it for a while, they were set to inherit it. So I don't buy the money argument. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me at all.
Yeah. Well, we're going to be watching these details close throughout the next couple months. I think the DA is going to make a decision. We'll see where it goes, and we'll do a follow-up episode. And we want to hear what you guys think once that decision gets made.
Definitely.
Darren, let's get right into, after a few minutes here.
Oh, this week's case. Yes.
Yeah. This week's episode was suggested by Sussy Radish, Patreon, longtime Patreon subscriber, Morgan Griffin. Morgan literally signed up. Yeah. Let's do a quick little, there you go. Ooh. Morgan literally signed up, Darren, on day one of our Patreon way back in 2021. And is an OG. So Morgan, thank you so much. We're really excited to get to your case suggestion.
John, give Morgan a Zooey's notes thing.
Oh yeah. Right now. 1 second. Okay. Zooey's notes.
And here are Zooey's notes.
Morgan, no notes for my mom. So thank you for being an OG. Okay. No notes in the Zooey's column for this. So
there we go.
We really appreciate you signing up and thank you for the case suggestion. Okay. Let's thank get you. Right into it.
Let's go. Oh, wait, before we start. I know Darren took a deep breath and I said, wait a minute.
It's going to pause. Yeah.
On YouTube or Patreon, you'll see what I say. I just want to crack open my Diet Coke. Here we go.
Crack it open.
By the way, do you have a Madonna shirt on right now?
Madonna nudes.
Oh my God. We're going to have to blur that out for YouTube. Here we go. Should we bring back drinks?
That was the saddest, in a while that we were
my microphone has like noise cancellation, so it was actually very loud, but you didn't hear it all.
We should bring back drinks, or at least like maybe not even alcoholic, just some type of drink.
Okay,
so let's think about it.
Magic is screaming in the background right now, so good. Let's just get started,
as he should, because you torture him and I'm calling CPS anyway.
Cat protection services, here we go.
Thank you. Anna Mariah Wilson, also known as Mo to friends, was born on May 18th, 1996, so 8 years younger than me, in Littleton, New Hampshire. She was raised in Vermont and grew up athletic and very outdoorsy. I imagine growing up in Vermont, she would be outdoorsy, to say the least. Her family was especially gifted in sports and encouraged Anna's love of cycling, which started young and continued as she got older. She eventually actually took on what's called gravel cycling, which is known to be a little bit trickier, and to some actually more fun. It's kind of like driving stick a little bit. It just adds a little bit excitement. It's just more exciting than running on regular pavement. It offers a little bit more control, a little bit more muscle control. But so in 2019, Anna graduated from Dartmouth with a Bachelor of Engineering. So clearly no idiot, no small feat. This is let alone Dartmouth, let alone engineering. So after college, she briefly pursued a career in her degree field. But after reconsidering, she decided to become a professional athlete due to her skills and talent. Wow. What a choice.
Have you ever wanted to do that? Because I will tell you, I got into tennis when I was in 10th grade. And I loved it. As you know, I've talked about it all the time. And I was pretty good at it quickly. And I really thought by my senior year, if I had learned tennis even just a couple years earlier, I would have tried to pursue it as like a full-time thing. That's how much I loved playing and like really wanted to be good at it. Anything
That's
on
crazy.
Your end? Yeah.
You know, it sounds so crazy, probably because like soccer was my sport. And as much as I loved soccer, I never really wanted to be a professional soccer player. I didn't think there was a lot of money in it, this was back in certainly the 90s when there really wasn't. And even now, but no, I never really thought about it. I mean, because I think I've always wanted some sort of like entertainment aspect. That was like my sights went, as opposed to in sports.
Sure.
But I was always very athletic, but I don't think I could have ever become a professional. That seems like crazy to be a choice, because it's so myopic.
I partially ask, and because remind everybody your screen name, just so we know how serious you were.
It's Soaker Star.
Right.
It's okay. Really Soccer Star, but with two Ks, so we say Soaker.
Soaker Star.
Yep. Soaker Star.
Okay, keep going.
So,
here we go.
Anna obviously has a great future ahead. And in the last years of her life, Anna beat an abundance of records for female cyclists and was racing treacherous trails. Through the cycling community, she made an abundance of friends, one of them being Colin Strickland, another well-known gravel cyclist. And Colin first became known for his wins in the Red Hook Crit Series before finding further success at gravel races such as Unbound Gravel. This is a little bit more of like a cycling insider or whatever. But Colin and Mo met about a year prior to her death at a four-day gravel race in Idaho. He was just blown away by her talent and was hoping to help her find some sponsors. From there, the pair kept running into each other at races, sometimes accompanied by Colin's girlfriend, Caitlin Armstrong.
Okay, interesting. Yes. So
they got a Strickland and an Armstrong and a Mo.
I have a friend named Brett who is beyond obsessed with cycling. It's his whole life. It's his whole personality. It's kind of annoying. Brett, if you're listening, I'm going to say that. So yeah.
Also, whenever I say the name Mo, and maybe this is just being a child of the 90s, I think of Global Guts. Oh. No, I think of Global Guts when he's like, move it on over to Mo, Mo. And then Mo takes
It's
like, hey, we got to order Mo, Mo. You got to watch Global Guts.
I
don't think of Homo,
that.
Actually. Yeah.
I'm immediately like, oh, you weren't bullied and called a homo.
Yeah.
And also, shout out to Sierra, his beautiful wife, who listens to the show, I should say, who's way better.
Who's
than
not
he
a
is.
Cycling nut.
Who's not a cycling nightmare person. Yeah. Sorry, Magic is literally having
Let
zoomies
him
and
Let him...
running up the side of the wall like parkour
maybe
and then
he
running
could
out
have,
of the room.
Maybe he could have zoomies on the Zoom.
On
Neither
the
here
Zoom?
Nor there. Go ahead.
Okay, all right. Do you remember that time we did a live stream and we made a magic cam just for him in the bed? Do you remember that?
Yeah. And I was very happy with that. Yeah, fun times.
More to come on that. Anyway, Caitlin Armstrong, this is Colin's girlfriend, was born in the Midwest on November 21st, 1987. She was an avid traveler and a certified yoga instructor in Indonesia. So very
Crazy.
Kind of eccentric background here compared to most people, I would say, that were, you know, hanging out at this stage in life. After meeting Colin in 2019, she got into cycling. However, she didn't have the same knack for it as other cyclists, including Mo and Colin, which has been speculated to be the root of what will eventually become her jealousy.
Ooh.
Caitlin and Colin moved in together during the COVID-19 pandemic. So this is a very recent situation here. The pair bought a house and went into a business together. Now, according to People Magazine, which, by the way, if People Magazine is covering something, probably not a good sign. You know what I'm saying?
At least not a true crime thing.
Yeah, in terms of true crime, exactly.
If they're covering this podcast, it is a good thing.
I'm just
trying to be clear. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. We love People Magazine outside of it covering us and the crimes that happen.
Right.
But People Magazine said, quote, Caitlin was in a relationship with Colin for about 3 years, but they split briefly in the fall of 2021. And Colin later testified, we're going to get to that, that they were often off again, and he wasn't sure if they were compatible in the long term, end quote. So a little bit of interesting, some background details there to keep in mind as we get through the story. So in 2021, Mo and Colin met in Idaho for the first time. The two later went on to begin a week-long romantic tryst while Mo visited Austin. However, Colin resumed his relationship with Caitlin while he and Mo went back to being friends. So again, this plays into the on-again, off-again situation. This friendship created a lot of jealousy between Caitlin and Colin's rekindled relationship. Later, on May 11th, 2022, Mo was living in San Francisco, but staying with a friend in Hico, Texas, or Hico, H-I-C-O. She actually planned to compete in an upcoming race in Texas, and her friend Cash lived nearby. That day, she had met up with Colin, and the two met for a swim at a local pool and had dinner together before Colin dropped Mo back off at her friend's apartment. Are you following, Darren? Everyone listening?
I am.
We good?
I'm following. Yep.
Okay. Mentally, I'm trying. I'm right there. So Colin didn't go back into the apartment with Mo, but simply dropped her off outside and left, after which time Mo fell victim to a horrific attack. 30 minutes after Colin left, Mo's friend Cash returned home to find Mo laying on the ground with two fatal gunshot wounds to her head and one to her chest.
I mean, that's targeted shooting right there. I mean,
Especially if it's only three shots.
That's pretty purposeful. So Law enforcement arrived on the scene and quickly declared Moe's death a homicide. Doesn't look like a suicide if there's three.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Especially two in the head.
For sure.
Hard to do. So Moe's bike had appeared to be stolen, but was eventually found just 8 feet from the house, which feels like I just kind of forgot where I locked it.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I don't know.
Kind of incident. I don't know if 8 feet from the house is considered stolen, but right. Now the police obtained a search warrant. And after searching through Moe's phone, they discovered texts about Caitlin Armstrong and were able to piece together Moe's last day alive. An electronic smart lock recorded video of Moe arriving home around 8:36 p.m. that night.
Wow.
And only 1 minute later, so clearly she had been followed, or it's just very good timing, Caitlin's black Jeep was visible on a neighbor's security camera across the street.
Also, it's kind of cool that an electronic smart lock can record video.
Yeah,
like,
I know.
What? I mean, my car, we've talked a little bit about this on NMR, but, you know, our cars record video, Darren.
Sure.
And I was just in a situation a couple weeks ago where somebody I knew was pulling out behind me and was sideswiped by a car.
Ooh.
And it was not their fault, my friend's fault. And I said,
they used your footage?
They used my footage to determine it. And
wow.
She was able to get, like, out of the insurance situation because of that recorded video. So,
wow.
You know, again, something like this is so funny because we talk about this from time to time where, you know, cases that we've covered back in the 70s or even earlier, you don't really think about the way electronic video can really play into a crime. But from like the 80s and on, it really is a huge part of every case in a lot of ways. So,
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And, you know, and here for to your point, for this neighbor's camera to kind of catch the car too and piece these different timelines together. So a black Jeep Cherokee with a bike rack on the back and a luggage rack on the top was seen circling the neighborhood. And with the text in Moe's phone, the car was identified as Caitlin's, and tips from friends coming in about Colin and Caitlin, the police had enough evidence to obtain a search warrant for Colin and Caitlin's home. Now, Colin kept legal firearms at his own house for protection. Nothing wrong with that.
Sure.
However, through their search warrant, police recovered the two firearms from the house Colin shared with Caitlin. And recovered, sorry if I didn't say that right. And a spent shell casing from one weapon, which is a Sig Sauer P365 handgun belonging to Caitlin, yielded a quote-unquote significant match with one found in the crime scene. Now, the couple was brought in for questioning and interviewed separately, which I think is probably a good thing to make sure that any story is probably straight or not. Colin came clean about his on-again, off-again affair with Caitlin and the brief tryst with Moe Wilson. Now, according to Dateline, Colin told investigators he kept Moe in his phone under a different contact name after he and Caitlin reconciled. Explaining that it was, quote, his right to have a friendship with the person about having, like, constant strife, without having, like, constant strife. So he did this to evade his girlfriend's naggingness, for lack of a better term here. When Caitlin found out about this, she threatened Colin and repeatedly expressed a desire to kill Moe, which is just wild.
Wow.
Police then received a tip from an anonymous source that Caitlin had made even more comments, indicating she either recently purchased a firearm or was going to. And not to make light of the situation, but if you've ever heard SZA's song Kill Bill, which is essentially a murder ballad about her killing her ex-boyfriend, Kacey Musgraves covered this with Nickel Creek at the Kacey Musgraves concert. I talked about this on NMR. Great
so
cover.
Jealous.
This story is that song.
Yeah, it pretty much is.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah.
Well, meanwhile, Caitlin had made no statement to the police when confronted about the video evidence on her vehicle, and investigators observed she, quote, turned her head and rolled her eyes in an angry manner, end quote, when questioned about how Moe behaved toward Colin. Now, you know, I think that does indicate something there, but I don't know. For me, I'm like,
I
don't
know.
That
could just be a jealous person.
It could be
anything.
Doesn't
mean, right.
Yeah.
Could be anything. She could have just not liked her, you know?
Absolutely. Well, the search warrant also revealed that Caitlin had recently visited a shooting range with her sister, Christine, to, quote, learn how to use a firearm.
Also,
so,
totally fine. If you're going to
do
it at a shooting range where they teach you safety. It's obviously in the confines. People have protective goggles on. They have phones on to protect. I mean, Kamala Harris, VP Kamala Harris actually talked about doing this on her 60 Minutes piece. So totally fine for
that's
there
right,
so
I
far.
Saw that.
Yeah.
She's like, I have a Glock, Kamala Harris said.
She's like, I shoot it at a gun range. And I'm like, you could just say you also have it for protection because that's legitimate. You're a woman.
Yeah,
you know,
of
like,
course.
I'm okay with that. Help women to defend themselves, you know?
the interviewer was like, have you ever shot it? And she laughed and she was like, yeah.
Yeah,
Like,
I know.
she was
Yeah.
like, what are you
Bill
talking about?
Whitaker was like,
Yeah,
do
Bill
you
Whitaker,
use
thank
it?
you.
Yeah. Anyway.
Anyway, so she went to this firing range to learn how to use the firearm. Would it be for protection? Would it be for
We'll
murder? We're about
see.
to find out. On May 17th, police issued an arrest warrant for Caitlin, charging her with first-degree murder. However, the day after police interrogated Caitlin, she sold her Jeep at a CarMax dealership for $12,000.
Damn.
I recently sold a car to Carvana, and they'll just come straight to your house and take it for you. So this is a free plug for CarMax and Carvana if you
Yeah.
ever want to get rid of your car. Anyway, on May 14th, 2022, Caitlin flew from Austin to Houston to New York, where her sister Christy Armstrong lives, then to San Jose, Costa Rica. She's like, let me pop
Wow.
up out of here for a second.
Yeah.
Caitlin, for obvious reasons, Caitlin boarded the flight using her sister's passport, which Christy told investigators she had not given to Caitlin, which
Wow.
is, I'm pretty sure, a felony, so in and of itself. According to People magazine, once in Costa Rica, Caitlin cut and dyed her hair from long red curls to short, dark brown and straight. Listen, a lot of stuff we can look at as circumstantial,
This seems a little
situational.
sus.
Using a different passport and changing your appearance in another country, this is straight out of a
And say what you
movie.
will, but Scott Peterson never crossed the
I know,
border.
I was thinking
He
the
dyed
exact
his
same thing.
hair, but his
Yeah.
sister lived in San Diego and he never crossed the border.
Yeah, you're right.
So just saying.
So then she came up with an alias. In fact, using the alias Allison Page, Caitlin underwent an estimated $6,000 worth of
Oh
cosmetic
my
procedures.
God.
Yeah, the surgeon later noted that he'd found it odd when Caitlin became agitated when he asked to take a quote before photo of her. Because she's like, I don't want any before pictures because then you're going to have a record of what I look like before all these surgeries. So in June
Exactly.
2022, after searching for her throughout hostels in Costa Rica, by the way, June 2022, I was in Cancun for about 2 weeks. So I'm in the neighborhood.
You're
I'm in
in
the
it. Yeah,
neighborhood. Yeah.
you're there.
I'm there in a sense. In June 2022, after searching for her throughout hostels in Costa Rica, U.S. Marshals got a tip that Caitlin may have been hiding out in a village called Santa Teresa.
Ooh.
Having trouble finding her in a sea of tourists that are visiting the area, of course, police set up a fake job posting for a yoga instructor. That's actually
Smart.
very smart.
So smart.
In hopes of luring her in. And can you guess what happened? It worked. The trap worked, and Caitlin applied under the alias Ari, Ari Martin. Well, on June 29th, 2022, Caitlin Armstrong was arrested and sent to jail in Costa Rica. In total, Caitlin evaded capture in Costa Rica for 43
Wow.
days. She was then, of course, expedited to the United States to await trial. Back in the US, Caitlin was charged with first-degree murder and unlawful flight to avoid prosecution, of course. Her bail was reportedly set at $3.5 million. Caitlin pled not guilty on all charges. And then just last year, less than a year ago, well, over a year ago, by the time this comes out, on October 11th, 2023, she attempted to escape custody by outrunning the guards and scaling a wall, but she was ultimately
Damn.
caught and detained. This
Shit.
person is out of control. This person is crazy in a lot of ways.
Yeah, and a year ago, October 30th,
Yeah.
2023, Caitlin's trial began. The key witnesses who would testify against her were Colin, her ex-boyfriend, and
Yeah.
two of Mo's other close friends. Now, the evidence against Caitlin was pretty damning. There was undeniable footage of her Jeep and
Right.
firearm at the scene. Tracking service from her phone placed her at the scene of the crime alongside her vehicle, which her team was trying to argue
Right.
against. So that's not looking good. GPA search history allowed showed Caitlin searching Cash's residence. Additionally, the bicycle turned up DNA evidence that matched Caitlin. So that bike had been moved 8 feet, had been touched by Caitlin that night.
Yeah, by
Why?
Caitlin, yeah.
And not to mention, she had stolen a passport and fled the country to escape capture, along with changing her entire appearance. Colin took the
Right.
stand and clarified his relationship between the two women.
Yeah, and meanwhile, Mo's two friends testified against Caitlin, stating times she was asked about Mo in each At times she was asked about Mo, and each conversation turned to violence. Cash actually gave testimony on finding Mo Wilson, stating, again, he was living with her at the time, saying, quote, "I want you to know I fought for Mo with everything I had that night. From the moment I got home, I started doing chest compressions, which was the longest 10 minutes of my entire life. I remember feeling so relieved when the police, that help was finally there, people who really knew what they were doing and could care for her. I fought for her afterwards when I was pulled away, pulled from my home by police and taken downstairs. I initially refused to go to the police station that night because I didn't want her to be alone. I couldn't understand why they weren't bringing her downstairs to the ambulance so that they could rush her to the hospital. It was the first moment that night I realized that there would be no coming back from this," end quote. And to testify, I mean, we saw some of this with the Menendez documentary that we talked about last week. I mean, testifying on the stand about some of the worst moments of your life has to be so heartbreaking, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, Caitlin was eventually convicted, as we mentioned, and was sentenced to 90, that's 90 years in prison. Mo's family started the Mariah Wilson Foundation, which aims to promote healthy living and community building by supporting organizations dedicated to expanding access to recreation, sports, and educational programs. So really heartbreaking case, just really born out of just honestly pure jealousy and darkness, which is really unfortunate.
And thank you for the case suggestion, because obviously this happened recently. So, and yeah, these people were young, and clearly this was just lust and love kind of gone wrong and gone a little wild. And we don't even know Caitlin's background. I mean, often we talk about people who had been abused when they were younger or had been something similar themselves. We don't really know her background outside of it. Just seems like a crazy ex kind of thing, to say the least. Real. But Mo's family obviously is making a little bit of some lemonade out of just horrible, horrible lemons, to say the least. Sure. So thank you for your case suggestion. This was good.
Yeah. Let us know what you think about this episode. Hit us up at J Thrasher Carpe Darren. You can hit us up on our Facebook group and, of course, on Patreon. Darren, tell them where they can go to find us on Patreon.
Well, yes, as a reminder, you can check out our Patreon to help support our show directly. Your support means the world to us, and you can sign up for as little as $5 a month or even cheaper if you sign up annually. Check out the link in our show notes or go to patreon.com/shakenanddisturbed.
Yeah, Darren, I know you love to do our YouTube plug here, but I'll just do it. Smash that subscribe button. Click that bell to get notifications. If you're watching, Darren's doing one of the weirdest things I think I've ever seen her do, actually. Oh, now she's, you're running. Okay. You guys, this is unsettling. Yes, thank you. If you're already subscribed on YouTube, we're putting our full episodes and some other fun content and clips from the show up there on YouTube. So please do go subscribe. You can also head over to youtube.com/shakenanddisturbed or click the link in our show notes.
Yes, Darren, you can.
Great episode. Appreciate your insight as always. Guys, we'll be back this week with another NMR later on. Yep. And of course, don't forget to take your Zyrtec.
And reminder, it's X-Man, not X-Men. Oh, just stating for purposes here.
Did you see somebody grammar. Was saying they were laughing?
And I was like, John Thrasher never teaches me anything. He's ignorant and I hate him. And I literally wrote that. I was like, we can all agree that John teaches me nothing and he has nothing basically to contribute to society. So thanks, John, again for
love
this.
Love it here. Cool. I love it here. All right. See you guys next time. Bye.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card. The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.
Do you love true crime podcasts and true crime documentaries?
If so, you gotta check out our podcast, True Crime Obsessed, where we recap the true crime documentaries everybody's watching.
We say everything you're thinking and probably screaming at your TV.
We've been at the top of the podcast charts for almost 9 years, and we have over 400 episodes for you to check out right now.
We cover the cases everyone's talking about, and we also highlight the cases that have been underreported, overlooked, or forgotten.
With over 30,000 five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, if you've never checked out True Crime Obsessed, now's the time to give us a try.
Find True Crime Obsessed wherever you get your podcasts.